You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Ann. Today is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. This is our penultimate pre-deadline podcast. It's our middle podcast of the week. Obviously, we'll have another episode tomorrow, Thursday morning. Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern time is the trade deadline. Thursday night, the Clippers played their first post-All-Star break game against the Warriors. We'll have our last episode of the week on Friday, talking about that Warriors game, talking about whatever happens at the trade deadline, and getting ready for the Spurs game. So Friday is going to be kind of an action-packed day. Maybe if the Clippers have a bad loss, we can not talk about that loss to the Warriors at all and just talk about the trade deadline and the Spurs game. That's how much we'll have to talk about. But here we are. As much as we're going to have to talk about in the next 2 days, there isn't a lot of news today. Wednesday, before the trade deadline, we're really talking about the stuff that happened Tuesday before the trade deadline, and a lot of teams, you know, Matt Moore at HP Basketball on Twitter said kind of something that I talked about earlier in this podcast, which is that in general, it seems as though we're at a point in the trade deadline process where everyone is waiting to see what kind of leverage they have. Can we get an extra second round pick out of this? Is someone going to come forward with an offer when they get desperate? You know, the Clippers and the Suns have been staring at each other over PJ Tucker, seeing who's going to blink first for a month. Basically about, you know, are the Clippers going to pony up a first? Are the Suns going to settle for a second? Is neither going to happen? You know, if the Suns settle for a second, the deal's done. If the Clippers pony up a first, the deal's done. If neither happens, it gets interesting because there are a lot of teams interested in PJ Tucker. And then it gets into like, well, are you offering 2 seconds? Can you give an expiring contract back instead of a multi-year deal? On and on and on. But yeah, it seems like there's not much to talk about right now. But there are a few things. The first thing noteworthy Clipper-related is that Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders has reported that Chris Paul has already verbally agreed with the Clippers that he will re-sign to a max contract this summer. Now, Kyler is not super reputable, but he is somewhat reputable, if that makes sense. So Steve Kyler is not a Woj, Mark Stein, you know, that level, Ramona Shelburne, that level of reporters, or even you get into like the there's some beat reporters around the league that are normally accurate. Dan Wojcicki used to be the guy for the Clippers before he moved on, where if he said something about the Clippers, it was true. There's a couple guys covering the Warriors because there's so much media attention up there, and I can't think of them off their head. There's one for the Pacers who I know every time. It's a woman. She might have moved on to a different job, but she was covering the Pacers every time she was on my timeline. You know that she's totally in the loop. And there's a guy with the Mavericks, who works for ESPN, who I can't remember his name off the top of my head either. But so there's a handful of national people who are always right. There's some really reliable beat writers. And then there's people like Steve Kyler who are generally tuned in, but not the big fish. And so for Kyler to have a scoop like Chris Paul has verbally agreed to a contract with the Clippers is probably dubious. Although I don't think it's surprising at all to know that there's some sort of sentiment within the organization and within Chris Paul's camp that he's going to be back. You know, we saw the same thing with Blake Griffin last month, I forget where the report originated from, but it was a similar level. It wasn't like Woj, because Woj wouldn't be reporting something like that in February or January, saying that Blake Griffin wanted to re-sign quickly and quietly during free agency. And obviously that's great news for the Clippers. You look at how good they've been recently, you know, despite everything that we complain about as far as the playoff exits and the injuries and whatever, whatever, whatever. They've been winning 50-plus games year in and year out. And I think I mentioned this in the last podcast. They're at the point where they aren't at the same tier as Golden State, but they're right there where you start thinking, if there's some sort of catastrophe, are the Clippers the team that can take advantage of it? And, you know, you don't give that up, because if you have a chance to be waiting in the wings for 5 years, and is there, you know, what are the odds that in one of the next 5 years, Golden State has injuries or loses a couple players or has a locker room implosion or whatever, 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 and the Clippers have a chance to break through? And if you're going to tell me, if you go down this path, you'll get one finals appearance in the next 5 years, or you can rebuild. I'm going to go for the one finals appearance in the next 5 years, because after a bazillion years of Clippers basketball and them never making the Western Conference Finals in the team's history, having that chance is no laughing matter for any team. You know, you only one team can win the championship a year. Having a shot to make it there, a legitimate shot, is no joke. And so it's great to have these guys, you know, hopefully re-signing. The other thing the reason I'm a little skeptical on this type of report is because technically it's against NBA tampering rules for the Clippers to be talking about free agent contracts, even with their own guys, at this point in the season. Because then it becomes like a handshake agreement, you know. You can't agree to pay a guy later for something that he may or may not be doing now. And so that, you know, it's technically illegal, but because it's coming from dubious, you know, a less than major reporter from anonymous sources, it's not like the Clippers are going to get punished for it at all. But, you know, it's a reason to be skeptical. And on the same, you know, on the flip side of it, part of the reason why I'm not taking too much stock in it is because you don't want to be overly optimistic on something that is so fleeting, in that, yeah, it's February 21st and Chris Paul says that he really wants to re-sign with the Clippers in July. That's awesome. How's he going to feel in July? Because until he can put the pen to the paper, it doesn't really matter how he feels. He could feel awful right now, and then the team could have a good playoff run, and he could re-sign in July. He could feel great right now, and the team could have a big losing streak, and everyone could get injured again, and he could decide, you know, I need a fresh start. A lot can change so I'm not putting too much stock in anything. I think more than anything, this kind of has... you have to question the motive behind this leak, and why does it do the Clippers or Chris Paul any good to have this out there? It certainly doesn't do Chris Paul any good as far as his free agency goes, because if he really is going to just re-sign with the Clippers, then why does it matter if other teams know that or not? And in the event that he may not end up re-signing with the Clippers, you certainly wouldn't want to drive down market interest by saying this. From the Clippers' perspective, you know, it doesn't do them a whole lot of good to leak that it's happening if they don't know. And even if they do know, it still doesn't do them a whole lot of good unless they're trying to convince people to, you know, trying to lure other players to join the team. The only instance where what other players think matters is Carmelo Anthony. The Clippers are still engaged in these Carmelo talks, even though it's not like there have been significant developments in the last few weeks. But heading into the deadline, the Clippers are still engaged, which is meaningful. And the fact that this leak is out there, it seems at least probable to me that this leak has something to do with Carmelo Anthony and trying to convince him to waive his no-trade clause. Now, that's far-fetched, and I'm not saying a Carmelo, you know, this is a proof that the Carmelo's, no. But it's just, it's something to consider, I think. Now, the other thing to consider from Tuesday's news is that the Lakers traded Jordan Clarkson to the Houston Rockets for Corey Brewer and a first-round pick. Now, the trade isn't especially significant as far as the Clippers are concerned. It's kind of a weird one for the Rockets in that Lou Williams is like a really good offensive player who doesn't play defense. He's kind of like Jamal Crawford. He's just playing way better than Jamal Crawford is this year. Now, the Rockets don't really need that. The Rockets have the second offense in the NBA and the 14th defense. So they traded Corey Brewer, a good defensive player who really struggles on offense, for Lou Williams, a good offensive player who really struggles on defense. So they, a great offensive team that's mediocre on defense, traded a defender for an offensive player. They just increased the polarization. In many ways, this is a move that could help them in an eventual matchup with the Golden State Warriors, because largely you need to be able to score with the Warriors. And if the Rockets felt like they weren't going to be able to stop the Warriors' offense anyway, now they have another option to try to average 120, 125 points against them in a series. Against the Clippers, I'm not sure that Lou Williams matters as much, because he's still going to be like the fourth best guard on the Rockets. And if they play super small, that probably just works to the Clippers' advantage, considering the Clippers don't have good wings, but they've got a bunch of good guards. So it's interesting, at least for seeing how Houston tries to match up with Golden State. But what's perhaps the most interesting for this is that there were a ton of teams that wanted Lou Williams. The Houston Rockets obviously wanted him and got him. The Washington Wizards, the Utah Jazz, Indiana Pacers, Charlotte Hornets. It seemed like everyone was linked to Lou Williams in the last few days. Like at least a half dozen teams, including the New Orleans Pelicans, which is a team that I've often pegged as a possible Jamal Crawford landing spot due to the fact that the teams could swap Crawford for Omer Asik's contract. The Pelicans could use some scoring as they try to make a playoff push, and then stretching Jamal is the same cap hit as stretching Asik, but for less years. And if they wanted Lou Williams, it makes sense that they'd want a guy like Jamal Crawford, even though Jamal Crawford is obviously worse than Lou Williams. It's kind of a similar play style. So just to give you an idea, because I know you might be sitting there going, no, Lou Williams sucks because he's been questionable in the last few years. But this year, 18.6 points per game, 3.2 assists per game, 44% from the field, 39% from deep. He's an effective bench scoring guard. Jamal Crawford, 12 points per game, 2.9 assists, 40% from the field, 34% from deep. So he's 4% worse from the field, 5% worse from deep, and doing it in a much lower volume. That's basically where you are. Lou Williams is doing more than Crawford is and doing it better than Crawford is. The other two differences that give Lou Williams more value than Jamal Crawford are age and contract situation. So Jamal Crawford is about to turn 37 years old in March, whereas Lou Williams turned 30 years old earlier this season in October. And then as far as contracts go, Lou Williams is owed $7 million next season, guaranteed. So you're not getting cap space by trading for Lou Williams. But if you're getting a good rotation player at $7 million in today's market, that's a good deal. If he was on the free market, he'd be getting paid more today. Jamal Crawford, obviously, as we've discussed, is owed around $14.25 million next year and then has $3 million guaranteed on his contract the year after that. So double the salary, 6 years older, and notably worse. That's the difference between Lou Williams and Jamal Crawford right now. And that's why Lou Williams got a first-round pick in return, and the Clippers have, you know, it sounded like the Clippers would almost have to attach a pick in order to move Jamal Crawford. But even noting the clear value gap between these guys, noting that Williams has been much, much better, noting that Williams has a much better contract and age situation that makes him a much more valuable asset to a team, it seems as though Jamal Crawford still should have at least a little bit of value, a little bit of utility to a team like the Pelicans. You know, the Pelicans' smart move would be to stretch and waive Omer Asik this summer so that they can maximize their cap room to build around Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis in the short term, try and get that core rolling and build something. You can't really say to Boogie Cousins, yeah, we just traded for you, now wait 3 years while some of these bad contracts expire. No, you want to move now. Here's the thing. If you're going to stretch Omer Asik in the summer, you're going to be paying him over the course of 7 years about somewhere between $3 and $3.5 million a year. If you stretch Jamal Crawford this summer, you're going to be paying him somewhere between $3 and $3.5 million a year over the course of 5 years. So it's roughly the same hit to your salary cap, but for two less years for Jamal. And if you're the Pelicans, Jamal Crawford helps you this year. They want a bench scoring guard. They want a veteran piece around Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. And who knows, they might actually choose to keep Jamal Crawford if they can't land a really good name with their cap room this summer. So to me, it's like a no-brainer. If that deal is on the table, the Pelicans are taking it, I think. And their Lou Williams interest only cements that in my mind, because it proves that they're going for a scoring guard this season as they try to push for the 8 seed. And money-wise, you know, the biggest concern with Jamal Crawford is the money. And money-wise, it's a no-brainer. It's better than a Asik for them. So that's just where I'm at. I think if the Clippers have a deal where they need to move Jamal Crawford's contract in order to fit under the hard cap, and the only situation where I think that really comes into play is if they're trying to make a Carmelo Anthony trade and the Knicks don't want Jamal and Jamal has to go to a third team, you could send Jamal to New Orleans and send Austin Rivers, Wesley Johnson, Paul Pierce to New York. But you have to get the Knicks to agree to a package, and then you have to get Melo to sign off before you can really seriously consider that New Orleans deal. But it's encouraging because I think it shows almost definitively that Jamal Crawford is movable. If Lou Williams has that much positive value, and not even that he has value, because it makes sense that some team would be willing to give up a late first-round pick for him, but the fact that so many teams are interested in Lou Williams means that someone has to be willing to take Jamal Crawford. And the Pelicans probably wouldn't take him in a vacuum, because his contract hurts their long-term flexibility, and that's the situation that most teams are in. But because they already have an even worse contract that the Clippers can take back, that's just low enough that it still lets the Clippers facilitate the deals that they need, it just seems like too good of a match for either team to pass up. Again, as long as the Clippers do have a potential Melo deal lined up. That is pretty much it. There wasn't a ton of action on Tuesday. I am thinking that we'll get more going on today, today being Wednesday. At least there should be a lot of rumors today. I think teams do a lot of calling around, gauging value, gauging interest, and then on today, I think we'll see teams start getting into a lot more serious advanced negotiations just because they're starting to run out of time. Thursday, we'll see a couple panic frenzy moves. Last year, the Clippers made a panic move. At the deadline, they traded, literally at the deadline, they traded Lance Stephenson and the 2019 first-round pick for Jeff Green. And they'd been shopping around all week, thinking about Channing Frye, thinking about Jeff Green, thinking about, you know, Rudy Gay. And then finally, at the last moment, boom, they decided. It was like the trade deadline was at 3. The news of that trade came at like 3:16. So they'd agreed to it, and they were waiting to call the league. And then finally it broke in the media a little bit after the fact. But that's how late it happened. I'm not sure the Clippers will make a panic move this year, although I guess you never know who will be the one to have the trade leak in after the fact. But certainly Wednesday, teams really start talking earnestly because they're getting right up against their deadline. And then Thursday morning, and kind of like from noon to 3 Eastern time, or 9 a.m. to noon Pacific time, those last few hours is when you really start to see teams give up on trying to hunt for leverage. You know, like I said, the Suns have been staring across the table at the Clippers and all the other teams interested in PJ Tucker for a while, saying, we want a second round pick, or we want a first round pick. And on the other side of the table, people saying, we'll give a second round pick. If the Suns are going to flinch, it's going to be in those last few hours. If another team is going to flinch, it's going to be in those last few hours. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be chaotic. I'm not even comfortable making like any solid predictions as far as will Melo happen? Will the Clippers trade for one of the Denver wings? Will PJ Tucker happen? Will they get Matt Barnes? I think they get Matt Barnes, but that's just like a hunch, because his sons live in Los Angeles and the Clippers have been in the hunt for a wing, and he's familiar with the team, and we know both sides are open to it because they almost signed him last summer. But anything beyond that, anything that's a trade that involves two teams agreeing, it's just so random and so chaotic that there's kind of nothing to do but sit here, listen to the rumors, try to figure out what's going to happen, and ultimately, depending on when you listen to this on Wednesday, somewhere around 24 hours from now, at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, we'll know for sure what's happening and what's not happening. That's going to do it for our show today. As always, if you have any feedback, if you have any questions, if you want to request that I discuss a certain topic on the show, you can tweet me at Lucas J. Han. If you just want to chat Clippers, you can hit up at Clips Nation SBN, where you will hear from either myself or one of the other wonderful Clips Nation editors. You can, of course, email me at any time if you have something more private or a longer message, lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. You can read my work at clipsnation.com and follow all of our trade deadline coverage, including checking out our midseason player grades, which have been up for a while, starting last week, rolling into this week. Robert Flom has been managing them with some of the wonderful writers from the Clips Nation staff. As you know, if you listen to the show, I didn't miss, but my schedule has been crazy over the last week or so because I've been traveling. I went back to California for my sister's wedding, saw a ton of family, great time, didn't have time to work. Robert really covered my ass, and he did a great job on All-Star coverage, working the roundtables with the staff, so definitely go check all that out. You can like Clips Nation on Facebook, just type Clips Nation into the Facebook search bar, and as always, we'll be back tomorrow. Maybe we'll have some Clipper news by the time I record tomorrow's episode. Who knows? Oh, and by the way, like I said, like Clips Nation on Facebook. If the Clippers do make a move, I might be, depending on what's going on in my life at that exact moment, if I can, I'm going to try to jump right on a Facebook Live video to talk about the trade. So if the Clippers make a trade, I'm going to try to jump right on a Facebook Live video. So if you like Clips Nation on Facebook, set yourself up to get the notifications for live videos. If something happens, you'll get to hear me talk about it in real time. And that's that. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, for our second to last episode of the week. Thanks for listening. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.